Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Is there anything that you pay more close attention to as far as your statistics or percentages? Is there like one area that you always want to, you know, be better at or pay attention to?
Wins and losses, getting to the playoffs and trying to win every game.
Plain and simple, that was Bears quarterback Mitchell Trubisky out at Hallis Hall today. Day two of three of mini camps before everybody breaks, a little recess before the real stuff starts, Bourbon A training camp.
Who's posing that question?
I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't like it, though. I did. Whoever it was, it didn't Bears. Sound right. Well, it might have been you, sir. The chuckling one over there, that is Anthony Heron.
Yes.
I am Mark Grody. We collectively are here tonight with you until 10 o'clock, 312-644-6767 is the number, and we'll talk more baseball, Cubs, and White Sox later on, but right now, we're to get the Bears talk going, and joining us now here on the Alpamonte Hotline, Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. It is Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times, who covers the Chicago Bears. What's going on, Patrick?
Hey, boys, how are you?
Doing well, man. I guess, like, no matter what we try out at Hallis Hall, we cannot get away from the kicking story, as it is down to two now. Chris Blewett was released earlier today, and it is now down to two guys in Eddie Pinheiro and Elliott Fry. Unfortunately, I was not able to be inside at the Walter Payton Center with everybody else. How did those two guys look today, Pinheiro and Fry, the two candidates right now anyway for the Bears kicker position?
Oh, Grody, you missed out. I mean, watching kickers kick indoors in June, I mean, it's good times. Better. They were much better. They both hit a 45-yarder. Then they both hit a 53-yarder. Fry missed a 53-yarder at one point because he was iced. The iced kick did go in, but it didn't count. And then he lined up again and missed it badly. So they were 4 for 5. On the Augusta Quiet stuff that we saw, and Matt Nagy was relieved, I think, to say the least, because it didn't go that way yesterday when all three of them missed a 42-yarder, and I think really that might have been the low point of this whole kicker derby that you and I have both been covering, the last couple of months.
If that was the low point, it would denote that there has been a high point of this kicker derby so far. Maybe there's something since you and Groats are up there all the time that I've missed in the coverage and the reporting of the Bears kickoff in the kickerdom that we're still trying to get this thing figured out. What separated Blewett from Pinheiro and Fry, where he was the one who got the axe?
You know, they've been charting everything from makes and misses to velocity to trajectory. And the presumption is that, you know, he had the worst numbers of the three. What I was interested in this morning when they made that move, it occurred to me that they probably could have waited 36 hours and cut him the minute that camp ended. But that there was a reason they did not. And it wasn't because they're going to try and slip somebody on the 90-man roster tomorrow morning. I think it was to send a message.
Yeah.
And I asked Matt Nagy directly that after practice, and he said, you know, it wasn't, we didn't do it to send a message to the other two, but yeah. I understand how, you know, the pressure got ratcheted up on the other two today, and we were happy with the way they responded. So I think that was maybe not the motivator. You know, we're parsing a little bit here. I don't think they cut him this morning to see what the other two could do this afternoon, but I think that it helped. And, you know, that's something that we're going to have to read, you know, all the way through to week one here, because, you know, Matt Nagy today even would not discount the fact that they could keep looking for guys. And I don't know what you guys think, but, you know, if I had to bet right now and you gave me either, you know, either Elliott Fry and Eddie Pinheiro or the field, I think I'd put a lot of money on the field right now.
Well, I can't, you know what, Patrick? I can't get past the fact that, and maybe Pinheiro or Fry, maybe they are going to turn out to be great NFL kickers, but neither has kicked in a real NFL game. Pinheiro was in a preseason game where he was 3 for 3 for whatever it's worth, but it would be really hard to go into a potential playoff season with a kicker who has never kicked in a real game in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, and I wrote this today in the story that we just posted maybe an hour ago. You know, it's been 5 months since Cody Parkey double doinked the playoff kick and went on the Today Show. And, you know, they're going to break tomorrow for 5 weeks. And do we know any more today about how they're going to solve this kicker problem than we did the day that Cody Parkey went on the Today Show? I don't think we do. And, you know, like you said, maybe one of the two guys they've got turns out to be the winner. Maybe, you know, in the preseason they go out and they're lights out and they're great during training camp in the heat and when there are fans around. Maybe, you know, maybe one of those two turns out to be the guy. But right now all we can do is speculate. And, you know, you have to wonder if they've gone out and signed a veteran in March, be it Robbie Gold, you know, or traded for Robbie Gold or whatever it may be. You know, we wouldn't be asking these questions in the middle of June. And, you know, look around the league. There are a lot of bad teams who don't have these questions about kickers. The Bears, theoretically, are a pretty good team. And we still don't know who's going to be kicking in week one.
Well, my concern when they made the Jordan Howard move was you need that role somewhere within your backfield. They addressed it in the draft with David Montgomery. So now I feel great about the Bears running back, or at least much better about the Bears running back position. As of right now, Bears kicker, they don't have anyone who's better than Cody Parkey at the moment. So to me, all right, if you make that Cody Parkey move, you get rid of him and there's still guaranteed money there, you got to address it better than what has been addressed so far. And so I agree with you. Definitely taking the field by comparison to what the Bears have on the roster right now at that spot. I am curious for your thoughts. So Friday night at, you know, when you and I, we had all our orange on at the Bears regalia. Grody decided to go the dark route. He had all his black on. He was like the man in black, looking great and svelte and everything out there. But as we were both looking in our majesty, did get to interact with Mitch Trubisky, and I was just struck by the comfort that he seems to be carrying himself with right now. Does, in your opinion, does he seem about as comfortable and confident as he's been as the Bears QB?
I texted a Bears official during the Mitch Trubisky, Jim McMahon roundtable on Saturday. And I said, I've never seen Mitch this comfortable in my life. And he was really good. And it wasn't just because he was wearing sunglasses and in the headband, but, you know, there's a confidence to him that maybe wasn't there a year ago. And you know what? There's a little personality to him too. I think that we're all finally getting to know, you know, the things that he finds funny, the things that he finds interesting, the things that he's willing to talk at length about. And that's exciting. And part of it is, you know, when you looked around that room, you know, all weekend, you know, there are people in Butkus jerseys and Singletary jerseys and Walter Payton jerseys for sure. But yeah, there are a lot of number 10s out there. And for Bears fans to finally get to know a little bit more about who number 10 is and what makes him tick, I just think that that's good news for everybody. And speaking selfishly as a reporter, it's really good news for me.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. It's like we forget, like we demand personality out of these guys and demand that they're all great interviews for the sake of our content. But that's not always going to happen. Now, yesterday we're all out there watching the practice, and Mitchell Trubisky throws a pass in the end zone to Taylor Gabriel with Kyle Fuller guarding him really closely. Gabriel kind of didn't look like he had complete control of the football. They do have somebody out there who's a referee. They said that he didn't have control of the football. And then you have both sides jawing back and forth at each other. People are calling out Pagano for influencing the decision. And one of the themes this year has been that there is this competition that's going on. There is a tenacity that exists. There is a want to put the pads on. And, you know, sometimes football players say that, Patrick, but I guess my question is to you, do you think in the case of the Bears, it's legitimate that they really do want to get at it and start doing some real stuff?
First of all, it was a catch. I was kidding near you. I thought it was a catch.
I did too.
It was outright. if there was, you know, they're going to start replaying every single thing in the NFL starting this year anyway. You know, if there had been replay at practice, which I'm sure we're not too far away from, I think that one would have gotten overturned and called a touchdown. Yeah, I see a competitiveness there. You know, I think a lot of it starts with Khalil Mack. This is something I wrote about in today's paper. Was, you know, a year ago, Khalil Mack, you know, told the Raiders he wasn't going to show up for mandatory boot camp. You know, he never practiced for them again, and he got traded. And, you know, you could be cynical and say that $141 million will make a guy show up for mandatory practices. But, you know, the fact that he is there and absorbing this defense and leading the team, I think speaks a lot to kind of the nastiness, you know, of the defense and the fact that the defense wants to win every single drill out there. The other thing, too, is, I mean, this Bears defense is really good. And you know, when you can pit that against an offense who, let's face it, the head coach is an offensive guy, so some of these drills may be a little biased toward the offense. And when you've got a good matchup there, I think it makes everybody better. And let's not forget either that, you know, there aren't a whole lot of new starters on either side of the ball. So, you know, these aren't guys trying to learn on the fly or trying to figure stuff out. These are guys who know what they're doing. Maybe the defensive scheme is tweaked a little bit. Maybe they've got some new languages to learn there. But these are guys who have been through it before and know, you know, especially after last year, they know what it takes to try to get back to where they want to go.
He's on Twitter, at Patrick Finley, because that's his name. He's our guy, Pat Finley. He's with us here on 670 The Score. He's the Sun-Times beat writer covering the Bears and the NFL at large. He's here with Mark Grody and Anthony Herron on 670 The Score. Patrick, the storyline of who's not at practice this part of the NFL offseason tends to be the thing that dominates quite a bit, and that's not the case. It's kind of the antithesis of it at Halas Hall. How much have they highlighted? Have, you know, Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, have they highlighted the level of attendance that's been there? You guys were just talking about the intensity out there on the practice field for mandatory activities, but the non-mandatory guys have been showing up for those as well. Has that been something they've made it a point to make a positive issue of publicly?
Yeah, over and over again. Matt Nagy a couple weeks ago said that they had, I think his quote was 98 or 100% participation or something like that. And so we all wrote that up, and he came back the next time we saw him and said, guys, it's not 98. I misspoke. It's 100. Every single one of our guys has been here for every single thing. And, you know, when you look around the league, I mean, look at the Lions. I mean, the Lions have, what, two guys who are threatening to hold out, who certainly didn't do the voluntary stuff because they want new deals. You know, you look around what Odell Beckham was doing with the Browns and how that becomes national news, whether he's, you know, walking the building or not. The Bears don't have these headaches to deal with. And I think that speaks to the players. I think it speaks to the real feeling of momentum that the franchise has. And, man, you got to go back pretty far to find the last time the franchise had some real momentum. And I think it speaks to Matt Nagy, too. And, you know, I think one of the great things we learned last year wasn't just that he was a fun play caller or, you know, decided that dancing in the locker room was cool. It was that he was really able to manage people and lead people. And, you know, when you hire a first-time head coach, particularly somebody who'd only been a coordinator on his own for, what, four games or whatever that stat was, I think one of the great revelations of the last season has been that Matt is cut out very well for this job. And I think that, you know, the participation and the buy-in from his players are a direct reflection of him, even though every time he's tried to sell it to us, you know, he's selling it not as something he should be credited for, but something that the guys should get credit for.
You get much sense yet for what the Chuck Pagano version of this Bears defense will look like by comparison to the Vic Fangio-led version?
I mean, not yet. I mean, you know, when you talk to guys, they make it sound like the defense is pretty similar, you know, but just maybe some of the wording is different. I think we'll have to wait really until the regular season starts to get a great grasp of that, because you guys know this, you know, they're not going to do anything too interesting in these preseason games. But, you know, I'd be curious to see, especially at the safety position with HaHa Clinton Dix joining Eddie Jackson. You know, now that you have two safeties who can cover, it'll be interesting to see how creative they get in the backfield or in the defensive backfield there. You know, Vic Fangio was pretty strict with what he liked to do. And there may be some more variation here, not only with coverages, but in terms of who gets sent, who gets blitzed, that sort of stuff. in terms of knowing exactly what the differences are. Man, I hate to say this. I think we got to wait until week one against the Packers, because I'm sure the Bears are saving a lot of stuff for them.
Patrick, I will see you out there tomorrow for the final mini camp day, and then everybody goes on recess for a little while before we all reconvene in our little town of Bourbonnais.
It's Indy 500 day. It's one of my favorite football phrases. Indy 500 day. The minute practice ends, everybody runs in their car and gets the heck out of there and speeds out of the parking lot. And it feels like the last day of school for them. And honestly, it does for you and I, too. So I'm looking forward to seeing you there.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you later. That is the Chicago Sun-Times. Patrick Finley covers the Chicago Bears. You can find him on Twitter, conveniently enough, at Patrick Finley. I did find out, Big Ant, that one of the big differences between Chuck Pagano and Vic Fangio is personality. Like, their personalities are very different, as in, you get the feeling, like, all these players love Vic Fangio, don't get me wrong, but they have taken well to Chuck Pagano because he talks. Like, he's more of a communicator, he's more of a put-your-arm-around-a-guy, he's more of a storyteller, maybe a little bit more emotional than Vic Fangio was, and again, they're not like taking shots at Fangio way out the door, but in talking,
Vic more stoic.
Yes, and I think that, like, I'm sure some guys probably prefer that type of communication. Mm-hmm. You know, talking to Kyle Fuller yesterday, you know, he was trying to explain it and basically saying, you know, in a roundabout way, he talks a lot more than to us, and you know, that aside from any of the verbiage that he might change or some schematically little wrinkles to personalize it to make it Chuck Pagano as opposed to Vic Fangio, just individual play calls and things that he maybe do differently. Aside from that, there's just a little bit more communication, I think, with somebody like Chuck Pagano.
And that gives some added insight to why when Vic spent some of that personal time with Kyle Fuller a couple of years back, why it seemed to have such an effect on him, such a positive effect, because that's not necessarily Vic's thing as far as, hey, in the off season, let's have some one-on-one time and kind of, you know, not necessarily a come-to-Jesus type of moment, but just a let's get to know each other, let's have an honest conversation about where I think your career can go. And when he and Kyle Fuller spent some of that time, we've seen, you know, the effects that it's had. You know, being healthy is obviously part of that. But then even beyond that, just the level that Kyle Fuller has taken his game to since then.
That's Anthony Heron. I'm Mark Grody. 312-644-6767 is the number. We're going to continue our Bears Hour after a break. When we come back, you will hear what I thought were the four best cuts of the day today, including Matt Nagy, Taylor Gabriel, Kyle Long, and Mitchell Trubisky, talking about whether or not he wants to stay here in Chicago for the rest of his career. So the four best Bears cuts from minicamp are next. 312-644-6767. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mark Brody and Anthony Heron with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670. Score 6-44-67-67. Textable as always, 670-11. You can find us on Twitter at Big Ant Heron.
That is me.
And at Mark Brody Sports.
That
if
is
you. Would like to, absolutely. Cubs win today. They beat the Rockies 10-1. Your White Sox, the game that you will be at tomorrow night, and Yankees tomorrow night at Guaranteed Rate Field. White Sox off today. They do host the Yanks tomorrow. Ivan Nova against J.A. Happ. NBA Game 6 tomorrow. Toronto at Golden State. The Raptors up 3-2.
What are you expecting there?
Let's see here. I am going to go ahead and I'm going to say I did watch the end of that.
Seems like you have a lot of conviction about whatever you're going to say. Whatever it is you're going to say, you're definitely like on point with it. You know exactly where you go.
You found me out. I don't care. Really.
Right, exactly.
I really don't care much about the NBA finals.
If you'd asked me about the Stanley Cup finals tonight, I probably would have had a similar sort of because it's game seven. It's two favorite words in sports.
St. Louis at Boston.
I've got, as we were talking in the break, I've got some in-laws in town. My wife is from Massachusetts. She's a Bruins fan and a Red Sox fan and a Patriots fan and this and that. And just happen to have a few of her family who joined us in town here this evening. So they're definitely, whatever, game's been going, I'm sure, for, probably approximately 25 minutes at this point. So wherever they're at, they're watching it, I'm certain. They're rooting for the Bruins. I could really care less,
aside from my wife being
happy about it. But, St. Louis had an opportunity, to make some history. I don't know whether it's being jinxed or whatever the case may be, but they have blown that opportunity. My guess would be that Boston is going to end up winning this because they appear, after being down 3-1, to have some momentum heading into Game 7.
Yeah, and I did love the way Golden State won that game at Toronto. And the only reason I say that is because – and I was down with it.
There was a lot of intrigue. Like,
Toronto was going to win it, that would have been fine. But it was hilarious listening to the play-by-play guy. Was it Mike Breen?
Yes, Breen.
And he's like, he started to do the, it looks like it's going to happen. It's going to, with 4 minutes left to go. Uh-huh. And Toronto, after, all these years and some tough losses, it looks like they
started
might.
Started to wax poetic a little bit.
Steph Curry with a three. And, then it's all of a sudden you're tied and then they take the lead. And so I'm kind of rooting for Golden State just because of the Kevin Durant injury.
It does seem like that's very quickly turned them into a sentimental favorite overnight, just where, the league was rooting against them. Everyone wanted the Raptors to get their first NBA championship. Kawhi Leonard is this very humble and quiet star, this leader by example that you despise. And now suddenly, because KD, was doing it for the team, got back out there with at least a depleted calf muscle, if not some sort of an Achilles strain that may or may not have been there. Herb Lawrence seems to think the Achilles was already injured. Maybe it was. If nothing else, the Achilles was in jeopardy by the fact that it was a lower calf strain. And speaking from experience with some of those lower leg issues that I've had in my playing days. So certainly him taking the court again and then getting injured after starting off extremely hot, hit three out of three three-pointers early in the game. Then he tries to take Ibaka off the dribble, foot hits the ground, boom, down goes KD. Then for the first time in the series, a fourth quarter lead change happens. Toronto takes the lead in the fourth quarter. Kawhi goes psycho, 10 straight points, three-pointers, two-pointers, mid-range jumpers. Looks like he's taking the game over. Then Nick Nurse takes the timeout, and everything changes. Now, in the moment that Nick Nurse took that timeout, well, the moment before, I actually said, because you could just see how gassed both teams were. They're sprinting up and down the court. Kawhi is playing like a madman. I said probably 2 to 3 seconds beforehand, one of these teams has to take a timeout because somebody's about to drop. Like, you can just tell the tempo that was happening. And folks tend to underestimate. No matter how big the game is, no matter how important the moment is, these dudes are still humans. Like, somebody's going to get tired. And there's still 4 minutes, about 3.5 minutes a game left. Everybody was tired. So I understand where Nick Nurse was coming from with it. He apparently just miscalculated not only his team, but the opposing team in the moment as well. Because through his lens, he's looking at Kawhi, who was obviously gassed because of what he was doing throughout that entire segment of game action that happened with the self-imposed 10-0 run that he was on. He takes the time out thinking, let me get my team a little extra juice so we can finish this run that we're starting right here. He wasn't factoring in that I'm also giving juice to the opponent. Golden State goes, regroups. Steve Kerr draws up a couple of plays back-to-back. Boom, boom, three-pointer. Like you said, game's tied. They're able to finish it out. Now it feels like a completely different series intangibly because now the nation is rooting for Golden State all of a sudden. It's a very different world that we live in 48 hours later.
We want the American team to win now.
Right.
This hour is being brought to you by Man Carry Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram on 95th Street in Oak Lawn. All right, back to the Bears and the four best cuts of the day, in my opinion. And we're going to start with Bears' second-year wide receiver, in a second year with the Bears, that is, Taylor Gabriel. And one thing that I asked him about was those receivers, those guys in their second year, and the steps that they may take. And Gabriel said, agreed with the question that I was posing to him. It's not all about Mitchell Trubisky's development. What about the receivers in their second year of the offense? Here's Gabriel.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that was our first time in the offense. Just in the sense of stats and what we did, I mean, just think about basically kind of a rookie going into a rookie offense and us having a second year under our belt. The terminology, it's expanded, it's more detailed. We know what Mitch wants. Mitch kind of can feel our speed, the tempo of what we're doing. So, I mean, we're connecting, and also we're going outside of the playbook of what Nagy's kind of drew up on the lines. We're kind of going to what Mitch wants us to do. Okay, you want us to do a back shoulder, you want us to do this. So it's kind of turning to our offense.
So how much ahead of Do you think you guys are as a team from this point last year to where
drastically, just because we're not trying to learn the offense. We're not trying to learn the X's and O's and where we're supposed to line up. Now we're kind of going off of tendencies of the DB, of the coverage, of what the defense is doing. So that's a drastic change from last year.
Yeah, so you heard it. He's using the word drastically to describe the improvement and the change in the feel of the offense this year. Another word that he used, not in that statement right there, but he used afterwards in further questions, was that the offense was, he used the word marginalized last year, as in they couldn't do everything because they were learning a new offense. You had a second year quarterback in a brand new offense, and now everything feels differently. And yes, of course Mitchell Trubisky needs to take the next step forward, that he needs to be better, and he needs to become what he is, a number two overall pick. But it's not all on Mitch, man. Yeah. It's on these guys, too, to get to know their quarterback better and for them to be better themselves.
The work, and I talked to Mitch about this a little bit on Friday night off camera. You know, it was fun to get to do the live from the red carpet show for Fox 32, talk to him on camera a bit, talk to he and Matt Nagy. But off camera, I was asking Mitch a bit about some of the work that he's done with the skill position guys. And he sounded extremely confident about what they've been doing. You know, even before some of the mandatory things were going, mini camps and OTAs, but just some of the personal time they've gotten to spend together. And those are the types of things that end up paying dividends, where you build a relationship, you build trust between teammates because you're, if nothing else, you're just spending some additional social time together. But then the time that's being spent on the field ends up paying dividends with the X's and O's of just having your offense, having your system become muscle memory. And, you know, it's one thing, like, you know, defensive lineman, you go out there, you work drills and everything and try to make sure you're in condition and get your hands strong and do things technically for the fundamentals of your position. Schematically, you know, you're not going to see like a bunch of D linemen get together and say, all right, let's run our scheme. Here's what we're at in our even front and our odd front. And we've got three down, five down, whatever else. But for quarterbacks and wide receivers, man, that's time you can't get back. And it's time that when you use it wisely, when you use it correctly, that really does end up paying off early in the season and then throughout the scope of the season, because there's things that will happen where you're in more of a rhythm early in the year. And especially if Matt Nagy has a similar approach to this preseason that he had last preseason, where we're not necessarily going to see starters getting that many reps, getting that much run in some of these games. I mean, you think last year, where it was a completely new system for everyone like you're talking about, Groats, and he still didn't really play the starters that much in the preseason. This year, I really don't anticipate it's going to be very different, perhaps even less. Who knows? Because he does a great job. The Bears practice hard. You got a lot of worker bees that are on that team that show up and get their work in really well. And you watch them as much, if not more than anyone, on the practice field. They put work in when they're out there. I was thoroughly impressed what I've seen from the Bears when I was out there in Bourbonnais and watching them last year. And so at this point, I don't really anticipate we're going to see a lot from the starters in preseason game action. So the stuff that they're doing, the work that they're putting in together when the media is not there, when the cameras aren't on, that's going to pay dividends for them as they get towards the season.
Yeah, and I think that it's going to, like, what fans will see that'll be different and how it's going to manifest itself. And Gabriel even alluded to this, that maybe whereas last year there'd be a time when Mitchell Trubisky would bail out the dink and dunk types of passes, which is part of this offense. But yeah, the one of the most important parts of this offense, too, is to throw the ball down the field. So you will see, hopefully, the idea is you will see more downfield, which will be suitable to Taylor Gabriel, who is the self-proclaimed, of course, fastest man on that team. Of course, Tariq Cohen would have something to say about that as well. So, yeah, you go Gabriel.
Depending on the distance.
Yeah.
If it was like a 20, maybe I'd go Cohen. 15 to 20, I'd go Cohen.
Yeah.
When you're going 30 and beyond, I'm taking Gabriel.
Yeah. And Cohen will tell you, I'm the all-pro.
That's what he would say.
Yeah. All right, let's move on here. Let's move on to Bears guard Kyle Long, who is back and healthy. He's the old man of the team at 30. I think this is a really interesting answer to this question. Was asked, does going up against an elite defense in practice help the offense?
I think we make the defense better. They got to play against us too. You know, obviously there's a lot to be said about what Tom's talking about, because it's a tremendous challenge to go out there every day and face off against these monsters. And you know, they're a very talented group, and obviously Coach Pagano has them doing some different stuff, and it poses a lot of threats to an offense. And the more stuff we're exposed to, and the more things that we can see on a day in and day out basis, the more we'll be comfortable when we see it when it's another team's colors.
By the way, Tom is Tom Thayer, because he got this question going, or it came from something that Tom Thayer had said about going up against the 85 defense and how that helped him. The reason that I thought this cut was so interesting is because it was the first part of what he said was real. It was kind of like that, yes, the offense knows how great this Bears defense is. They know that it's elite. They probably know that they don't win 12 games last year if it wasn't for the elite defense, and maybe the offense has some catching up to do. But the offense, man, they got a little pride too. And I think that was Long's way of saying, hey, time to pay attention to us and the step up that we're about to take. And even Matt Nagy made jokes last year about all the, you know, the all pros that existed on the Bears and how it was all about defense. And, you know, his attitude is, you know, the offense is his, and they want, Kyle Long wants, and Matt Nagy wants this offense to catch up with the defense. And maybe, and you could probably speak to this as a former NFL player, maybe they're a little tired of hearing about how great the defense is. And, hey, look at us and look at some of the talent that we have and that you will start to win because of us too.
And Kyle Long strikes me as a guy who's savvy enough to even recognize that him making comments along those lines, him speaking in a manner that adds a little bit of bravado to the offense, speaking in a confident manner about this young offense, this inexperienced offense, going into their second year together in this system, hey, those are things that's going to be important for his teammates to hear as well. You know, this isn't going to be the last time, I don't think, where you hear Kyle Long speaking with confidence about the Bears offense going into 2019. And that's something that his teammates hear, something the coaches hear, something his quarterback specifically hears, that him exuding confidence in himself, in them as a squad, in Mitch as a quarterback, in Matt Nagy and leading the offense and talking about it in that manner versus the way we spoke about the offense last year, the work in progress that it was and the young quarterback that he was. And now the expectations have upticked for them this season, and they're handling it in that way. At least he is.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves would like to thank their loyal fans for making this 25th anniversary so special. Thank you, and see you in October. All right, quick break. When we come back, you will hear from Mitchell Trubisky and from Matt Nagy. It is Anthony Herron. It is Mark Grody. We are here with you until 10 o'clock, 312-644-6767. Textable at 670-11. You can find us on Twitter as well. And right now, we are on your radio at Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
You know, I've been asked this question a bunch. I mean, I'm an O-lineman, so I don't really know much about quarterback, but I will say that his command in the huddle, his ability to keep us on task with the tempo and that kind of thing, you know, I can't speak to rerouting receivers or, you know, accurate throws, but I can speak to his leadership in the huddle and the way he impacts the offensive line.
Yeah, Kyle Long has been asked a lot, obviously, about Mitchell Trubisky and where he is seeing the improvement early on with Mitchell Trubisky. And, you know, Trubisky is a guy who definitely is earnest in his want to learn and to be a great quarterback, and he does appear, and in a vocal way, to be kind of a leader, and I think that's what Long was alluding to. We're going to hear from Mitchell Trubisky here in just a second, as well as the Bears head coach Matt Nagy, along with Anthony Heron. I'm Mark Grody. We're here till 10 o'clock with you, 312-644-6767, and textable at 67011. You can find us on Twitter as well. We can play there. And I do believe Big Ann Heron has something he would like to tell you.
Yeah, let's give some stuff away, Groach, shall we? Be caller 6 and join the scores. Matt Spiegel as he broadcasts Hit and Run live at the Chicago Dogs game Sunday, June 30th. Winners receive a pair of tickets to the game, a Chicago-style hot dog for lunch, and a chance to throw out the first pitch. Brought to you by the Chicago Dogs, where every day is Fan Appreciation Day. So all you got to do is call the contest line. That is 312-591-6700. Be caller number 6 and calling at number 312-591-6700. Caller number 2, or I'm sorry, caller number 6, that is, will get the 2 free tickets to that Dogs game with Matt Spiegel.
Good luck. And we are broadcasting live from the culinary studio, and we do have TV monitors in here, which is very good. And I see that Milwaukee right now is leading Houston in baseball 2-0, top of the second inning. At the moment, the Cubs and Brewers tied for first place. That's because the Cubs beat the Rockies today 10-1. And if Milwaukee wins that game, if they would go back up a half game. So we'll keep that monitored for you. But back to our Bears report, and specifically the Bears starting quarterback Mitchell Trubisky. He was asked the question today, do you want to be in Chicago for the rest of your career? And here's
absolutely
Mitchell Trubisky.
I think as long as I can play here in Chicago, I want to play this game as long as possible, and I want to do it as long as I can here in Chicago. So I think we're building something great here. I love the city. I love the fans. And I love where I live. I love coming to work at Hallett's Hall every day, and I love my teammates. So for me, it's just take it one day at a time and embrace the process. But that's the goal for sure.
What was your reaction to Carson Wentz's contract?
It was pretty cool to see. So he got it done. We have the same agent, so I got to hear about it a little bit more and how they got it done. And from what I heard, it was just beneficial for the player and the organization, and they're very happy with it. And I know my agents were pumped with it as well. So I'm not very good with the numbers and the details and all the language of contracts. I just want to play football.
And I do realize that we're getting a little ahead of ourselves by talking about this and asking these kind of questions as Mitchell Trubisky is in year 3 of his 4-year rookie contract. But, you know, asked about Carson Wentz, who gets the 4-year, $128 million contract. And, you know, the thing about Mitchell Trubisky is that he is about as football as they come. And I get it. He's a football player, so he should be football. But you know what I mean?
Sure.
He's like, he's a gym rat of football. He loves being out at Hallett's Hall. You know, everybody's talking about what they're going to do. They're going to get away for a while before Bourbonnais starts. It sounds like Trubisky would prefer to start Bourbonnais tomorrow just because he loves it. He loves being part of the grind and all that. So it sounds to me like, I mean, he's given it away that he wants to be in Chicago for the rest of his career, and I'm sure that he will ask his agent to get him the top dollar and all, and play the game and all that kind of stuff. But it seems like Trubisky strikes me as a guy who doesn't really want to mess around with any of that stuff, and he just wants to be where he's comfortable and playful. And no matter what, the guy's going to make tons of dough. Mm. And I'm not saying he's going to take any kind of discount, and he should not.
Dak Prescott type stuff up here, get your hometown discount.
None of that. Those don't exist. I mean, any athlete that I've ever taught, I remember asking Jake Arrieta about that, like the year before he was to become a free agent, you know, before I could even get the question out of my mouth, the hometown, he's like, no, there's no, I mean, and why should they? I mean, that's a stupid concept, really, when you think about it. Like, maybe they're going to do it, but they're not going to make that public.
Maybe if they're married to Giselle and they have a wife who's worth more than they'll ever imagine making as a professional athlete anyway.
That's true.
Then it's a lot easier to feel like taking the hometown discount is what you should do.
But it's a lot more fun to be called. And it seems like it happens in every sport in the NFL to every quarterback. Like, have your day as the richest athlete in the NFL until the next
guy
gets his extension. So,
Aaron Donald was the richest defender in history for what, like a day or 2 days or something?
Khalil Mack took over. Right. So, yeah, it's hard to keep track of all that, like who's the richest deal. But, I mean, this will be a huge story. Obviously, next year, who knows? Maybe the Bears, without seeing a full season, will want to extend Mitchell Trubisky. Who knows? None of us knows what's going on. But I think that my point here is that it sure feels like Trubisky is the type of guy who's going to want to get that kind of stuff out of the way, sooner rather than later.
As he should. And, there's rumors about whether or not Pat Mahomes, who's, of course, in the same draft class with Mitch Trubisky, and maybe during this season, and, folks sound fairly confident, certainly after this coming season, that perhaps Pat Mahomes would be the new highest paid quarterback in NFL history. Coming off the season he had last year with the record-breaking touchdown passes and all the highlights that he had left and right, the no-look passes and whatnot. Now, this coming year, it's going to be a little bit of a different situation because he's going to be without two of the main weapons who made a lot of his explosive plays for him last year. So that's going to be a bit different as it relates to the Chiefs offense. But if Pat Mahomes continues to play at that Pro Bowl or MVP-ish sort of caliber and looks like, the next wave of QB star that's going to lead this game into the future, then he will be in a position certainly to demand top dollar from the organization, and it will make sense for the Chiefs to try and get him locked up sooner rather than later, so you don't necessarily have to go into the following offseason with concerns about your young QB. I don't necessarily see where, Trubisky and the Bears would be in the position of, it'd be great if Mitchell was a league MVP this coming season, but that's not the status he needs to hit to be what the Bears need him to be. Like, the Chiefs, to be at their best, pretty much need Pat Mahomes to be an MVP caliber quarterback, as we saw last season. Now, the schedule's going to be tougher this year, but if the Bears get a better Mitch Trubisky, that's going to be outstanding. The offense will take steps forward. They don't need an MVP caliber Mitch Trubisky for this team to be great and to be dominant. How that affects his contract status, that'll be the interesting part, because you look at, made the Dak Prescott joke in Dallas, where he's viewed as a guy who doesn't necessarily have the skill to lead the offense with his right arm consistently on his own. He needs the offensive line, needs the run game, needs the play calling and all those things. So where will Mitch Trubisky fall into that framework of winning caliber NFL star? There's a lot of winning caliber NFL starters. Like, Kirk Cousins had a quote, I think it was just earlier today, where, hey, I'm basically a 500 quarterback. There's a next level I need to get to, that sort of thing. So after this season, that'll be the question for where Mitch Trubisky ends up falling within the hierarchy, not just by comparison to other quarterbacks, but just by comparison to what this organization needs him to be. Dak Prescott's good enough for the Cowboys to win with him because of the structure of the franchise around him. Pat Mahomes needs to carry a load for that offense. I don't think that needs to be Mitch. So what will that mean as far as how he's going to get paid when his time comes?
It's going to be interesting. It's a big year, obviously, for Trubisky. And, yeah, everybody needs to see more from Trubisky before he gets the big bundle of cash. All right, final cut before we take a break, and it is the necessary evil. We do have to hear about the kickers. Matt Nagy spoke about the two that are left, Eddie Pinheiro and Elliott Fry. Here is Matt Nagy.
Well, for us, we don't have any set days where we say, hey, we're going to cut somebody here, we're going to have this number of kickers here or there. We have enough, and we had enough after yesterday up until that time on all the guys. And again, we collaborate, we talk about it, we know through more than what everybody just sees publicly. There's other stuff, other kicks that go on, and so that's just the direction that we decided to go, and we wish them nothing but the best. And now here we are with these two guys.
Was there any benefit in seeing how the remaining guys reacted today after watching one of them?
Sure. I think that's a great question. That wasn't the intention, but at the same time, that's what they see. That's what our team sees, and so now today, when they're put in a similar situation as yesterday, and already knowing what happened yesterday or this morning, then you understand that it does. Naturally just creates more pressure. Any human is going to feel that way. So I was proud of those guys for being able to bounce back today and then make those kicks.
Are you worried at all that come opening day, I mean, there's so much scrutiny over right now from you guys, from us, from everybody around. I mean, that can anybody maybe handle this coming into the season? I mean, all eyes are going to be on whoever it is.
For sure. No, and it should be. Nobody here is saying that it shouldn't be any other way. We understand that. We know that it's not going to be easy. We have you know, two guys right now that are very, very that are with us that are very, very inexperienced. And so we got to keep that in mind. And so again, that's where we're at. And so we got to just make sure that we're evaluating as best as we can, knowing that come week one, that's a big hole that we got
to
fill.
How interested are you to see how these guys handle it in training camp, where they're going to be kicking in front of fans?
Sure.
First time with the last time they saw a Bears player kick.
I'm excited for it because that's more real. You know, that's for them. They're in a position. It's totally different when you're standing out there on your own. It's like shooting that free throw on a technical. There's no one around the key. Well, it's the same way when you're kicking, like yesterday when they missed them. There's no one out there. So that's not real. But there's some reasons behind it. It's to see mentally how you handle things. And again, I'm going to tell you, when we get to training camp, they're going to feel good because we're going to create pressure with other positions too. And so I'm excited for everybody.
That's Bears head coach Matt Nagy talking about the kickers. It is down to two for now. Eddie Pinheiro and Elliott Fry today combined 4 for 5 in the minicamp practice. If you didn't hear, Chris Blewett was cut, so that is why it is down to those two guys. All right, that's our Bears hour. We will talk more Bears later on. But when we return, we are going to talk about the NBA, and we will start our NBA conversation with a Bulls anniversary that occurred yesterday. Along with Anthony Herron, I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.